We're doing any Akot, and we're learning the Gemara and Brachos. We're holding that Zion, where Moshe Rabbeinu is standing and speaking to his Creator. And really, this is our Parsha. This is this week's Parsha, Parsha's Kisisa. They say that it's a good sign if what you're learning shows up in... what you're learning on one subject shows up in another subject. So this is our parsha this week, and this also shows up here in our Gemara. So let's remind ourselves what happened. Moshe went up to heaven, spent 40 days, 40 nights there, got the two tablets. He was supposed to come down. The Jews miscalculated, and they thought he was dead. He hasn't come down, so they bring an eagle. They make this golden gift. They start serving it. God tells Moshe, go down. Your nation has sinned. Moshe Rabbeinu sees that there's a problem. So he starts praying to God. And he recounts the merits of the forefathers. And he says, God, for the sake of Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, if they transgressed the Ten Commandments, Abraham stood up to ten tests. If they transgressed with fire, Abraham put himself in fire. One thing after another, if they deserve to be slaughtered, Yitzhak slaughtered himself. They put himself up to be slaughtered. If they deserve to be exiled, Yaakov exiled. Yaakov was exiled. So the merits of the forefathers should stand for them. Moshe Rabbeinu, his prayer is accepted. The Jewish people aren't annihilated. He goes down. He sees that they've sinned. He smashes the tablets. He judges them. Those that deserve to be punished get punished. God punishes them. He goes up back to heaven. He begs for repentance. And then he goes up again. And the last 40 days end with Yom Kippur. And God finally forgives them. When he's up there, so God tells him he's accepted his prayer. He'll forgive them. And Moshe Rabbeinu sees that things are going well. So he starts making requests beyond that. He asks that God should place his Shechina among Am Yisrael, God should lead us personally, God should leave the Shechina only among Am Yisrael and not among the nations. And then he says, I want to know you, God. What does it mean, I want to know you? And that's going to be the focus of the Gemara tonight. We're going to begin. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yochanan quoted Rabbi Yossi. Shalosh Dvarim Bikesh Moshe Milifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Natan. Moshe Rabbeinu asked for three things, and God gave him those three things he asked for. Bikesh Shetishrei Shechina Yisrael. He asked that God's Shechina should be upon Israel. V'Natan Lo. God gave him that request. Sheneimal, as the verse says in our parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu asked, Halo B'lechtecha Imanu. If not for that we're asking, you should be among us, and God granted him that. Bikesh shelo tishrei shechina al ovdei kochavim. Moshe Rabbeinu asked that the shechina not rest on the pagans. V'natanu, and God granted him that. Sheneimal, the pasuk says, v'nifninu ani ve'amecha. I and your nation should be unique, and that we have this special relationship with you, that you place your shechina upon us.
Kochavim, tam it's stars kochavim tam in
text. What?
Kochavim, shechina. Min kochavim tam kach tam. In America, in Hebrew it's
Shechina.
Ken. In
Shechina literally means where God's resting place. Ken. But it's a representation of a God.
Yes, but not min kochavim tam kach.
No.
Not min goyim.
Ah, ovdei kochavim are those that serve the stars, the idol worshippers. Ovdei kochavim are the pagans, the idol worshippers. Bikesh lo diod rachat shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He asked God to teach him his ways. V'natanu, and God gave it to him. Shneimal, the verse says, Hodieni na et rachecha. Let me know your ways. Amar lefanav, he said before him, Ribono shel olam. Master of the world. Mipenei ma, why is it, yesh tzadik v'tov lo, there are righteous people that have it good, v'yesh tzadik v'ra lo, and there are righteous people that have it bad. Yesh rasha v'tov lo. There are wicked people who have it good. Yesh rasha v'ra lo. There are wicked people who have it bad. So Moshe Rabbeinu formulated his question in a very specific way. And in formulating his question this way, he he already precluded some of the answers. He said, God, if every righteous person had it good, I'd understand. If every righteous person had it bad, I could understand. If every wicked person had it bad, that's easy to understand. If every wicked person had it good, so I could say, okay, God's making it good for him now, so that in the world to come, etc. But the fact that you have righteous, some of the righteous have it good, and some of the righteous have it bad. Some of the wicked have it bad, and some of the wicked have it good. Why is that so? Amalo, so Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rabbi Yossi, that God answered that question and said to him, Moshe, and we have to ask ourselves, why does God begin with the introduction calling him by name? Tzadik v'tov lo, when you see a righteous person and things are going well for him, tzadik ben tzadik. He is a tzadik, the son of a tzadik. Tzadik v'ralo, you see a righteous person and he's having it bad in this world, tzadik ben rasha, he's a righteous person, the son of a rasha. How does that work? So we're going to discuss this. Rasha v'tov lo, if you see a wicked person and things are going well for him, rasha ben tzadik, he's a wicked person, the son of a tzadik. Rasha v'ralo, you see a wicked person and things are bad for him in this world, rasha ben rasha, he's a wicked person, the son of a wicked person. So this is what Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara is going to analyze this. Amar Amar, our master said, Tzadik v'tov lo, tzadik ben tzadik. That if a tzadik has it good, he's a tzadik, the son of a tzadik. Tzadik v'ralo, if a tzadik has it bad, tzadik ben rasha, he's a tzadik, the son of a rasha. Eini, could this be so? V'aktiv, doesn't the verse say, Poked avon avot al banim? God holds parents' sins for their offsprings. V'chtiv, and then another verse says, Uvanim lo yurtu al avot, sons will never die for their father's sins. V'ramin al kaya adadi, and we ask the contradiction. One verse seems to indicate sons pay for the sins of their fathers. Another verse says sons don't die for the sins of their fathers. Umshaninan, and we answer, lo kasha, that's not difficult. Hakshov zin nase avotim lidehem. The verse that says sons will pay for the sins of the fathers when they go in their father's ways. So if they continue sinning like their fathers, God says, I'll pay them not only for their sins, but their fathers as well. When they don't hold on to their father's sins, they don't pay the price for what their fathers did. So that seems to indicate that if you have a tzaddik, the son of a rasha, he won't pay the price for the fact that his father was a rasha. So how could the Gemara seem to say that when a tzaddik has it bad in this world, that's because he's the tzaddik, the son of a rasha? Ela, the Gemara says, but, and whenever the Gemara says Ela, it means I'm doing away with something I said previously, I'm going to say something else. But then the Gemara continues with, Hachi Kamali, this is what God told him. And whenever we have the term Hachi Kamal in the Gemara, it means it's not the way you would simply read what you read before. Hachi Kamal means this is what he meant to say. He might have worded it that way, but he meant to say differently. Meaning, I'm taking what I said before, and I'm going to give you a different understanding of what I said before. So this, that the Gemara said, Ela, which on the one hand indicates, I'm doing away with something I said before, continues with saying, Hachikama, this is what he meant to say, which seems to indicate, I'm not doing away with what I said before. I'm just going to alter the understanding to what I said before. This seems to be contradictory. And let's remember this point, because we're going to finish reading the Gemara and then start analyzing what do we have here. God told him, Tzadik v'tov lo, if you see a righteous person and things are going well for him, Tzadik gamu. That's a tzadik that's finished.
Complete.
Tzadik v'ralo, you see a tzadik, he has it bad. Tzadik sheino gamu. That's a tzadik that's not complete. Rasha v'tov lo, a wicked person and he has it good. Rasha sheino gamu. That's a wicked, he's not completely wicked. Rasha v'ralo, you see a wicked person that's having it bad, Rasha gamu. That's a wicked person that's complete. What does that mean? Why does that answer the question? Upliga d'Aminev. And this understanding of Rabbi Yossi's is in conflict with what Rabbi Meir taught us. The Amar Rabbi Meir, for Rabbi Meir said, Shtayim nitnu lo, two of Moshe's requests were granted, v'achat lo nitnu lo, and v'achat lo natnu lo, and one of his requests was not granted. Sh'ne'emar, for the verse says, God told Moshe, v'chanoti et asher achon, and I have mercy over whoever I see fit to have mercy. And Rabbi Meir explained that verse that God was telling him, I have mercy for the one I choose to have mercy, even though he's not fit for mercy. ורחמתית אשר הרחם, I have compassion over who I have compassion, אף על פי שאינו הגון. Even though he's not fit. So Rabbi Meir says, even Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't given an understanding in this. So, we have Rabbi Yossi, who says Moshe was given an answer. We have the first understanding in Rabbi Yossi, that the answer was, it depends on if he's a tzaddik, the son of a tzaddik, or a rasha, the son of a rasha. And then we have a modification, or a totally different answer, that it depends on if he's a complete tzaddik or a complete rasha. And Rabbi Meir, who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi, he says, he wasn't given an answer. We don't know what. This was our Gemara till here. This question is probably the most basic question in human philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
How could it be that there's good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people?
This is Theodiceia. Theodiceia.
This is the question that the Book of Job contends with. And the question is, what's the conclusion? We see different answers being offered to Eeyore. And this is the question that the Torah answers when the Torah stresses God is whole, He doesn't do anything that is unjust, everything that God does is just. The question is, how do we understand that? And this is the question that David HaMelech was dealing with when David HaMelech wrote the verse Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat. David HaMelech said, in that verse, he said, Ishbar, a simple person, lo yada, he won't know. Uchsil, and a fool, lo yavin etzod, he won't understand it. David HaMelech seemed to make it only the fools that don't understand. Our Gemara seems to make it that even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand. So when we deal with this question, we have to remember that the last opinion the Gemara quoted was Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir says, even Moshe didn't get an answer. I want us to take a few minutes today to try and understand the different answers that are offered. We have to remember that it is unclear what the Gemara's conclusion is, so maybe we won't have a conclusion either. And we might take more time for this on Wednesday. We'll see how much we cover tonight. One of the beautiful commentaries on the Talmud was the Meiri. And the Meiri emulated the Rambam. His style is very clear. He's one of the Rishonim that writes things the most clear. The Meiri, in a few places in Shas, offers us a few different understandings. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that says that there are those who didn't sin, and they only died because God decreed that mankind should die. Now, if we think about it, let's start with the beginning of creation. God says, I create a world where no one's going to die. Adam Arishon sins, he's banished from Gan Eden, and God curses him, you shall die. Why does Adam's son have to die? We just said in our Gemara that children do not pay the price for their forefathers' sins. Well, then why are we all dying? So the simple understanding is, well, we all have sin, and our sin causes us to die. But then we have this Gemara in Shabbos, that the Gemara says there are those that didn't sin any sin that made it worthwhile that they should die. They had no sins that were weighty enough to cause them to die. They only died be'et yoshel nachash, because of what happened back then with the snake. How does that work? We just said children, if they don't go in their forefathers' footsteps, if they don't sin like their fathers, they don't pay the price. So this question that our Gemara is contending with is a question that begins at the beginning of the Torah. When we begin reading the Torah Bereishis, we have this question. The simple answer is that the whole story of Bereishis is to give us perspective on the world. It's unclear what from that story happened physically, what from that story happened ideologically, what if that story is supposed to be understood literally. But what we do know is God created the world in a fashion, in a way, that man, every man dies. The Meiri on that Gemara, the Meiri says the following, but before we begin the Meiri, we should mention one more thing. The Gemara brings an argument. One opinion in the Gemara is that there were those exceptions, those people who were so righteous, they didn't deserve to die. They only died because God decreed people should die. The Gemara says there's another opinion that disagrees with that. There's another opinion that says en yisurin b'li chet v'en mita b'lo avon. No such thing as death without sin. Anyone who dies sin. Says the Meiri, a person should never think badly about God's ways. Even though he sees sometimes that the world seems to be without order. For example, you see a righteous person who has it bad, a wicked person who has it good. Don't think badly about your Creator, because everything is done with justice. And the understanding of it is the way God tells Moshe, "Umeshalem lesonav el panav leha'avido." God will pay back his enemies in order to wipe them out ultimately. So if he's a wicked person, God makes it good for him to pay him off whatever God owes him, so that ultimately he'll get the full punishment he deserves. And that's why our sages taught us, the verse says in Ecclesiastes, "Tov kas misechok," better anger than laughter, that it's better the anger that God chose the righteous in this world than the laughter that God jokes with the wicked in this world. And it's better the good that God offers the righteous in the world to come than the joke that's going to be on the wicked when they come to the world to come. So what's the point? That the ultimate payback is in the world to come. And that's what King Solomon stressed. What benefit does man get in all his toil under the sun? Under the sun, you ultimately get nothing. Above the sun, in the world to come, there you get something. So what's this answer? This is one philosophical answer to the question, how come the righteous have it bad? The answer is, wait, it's not over yet. There's still a world that's worth more than this world where everything will be evened out. And there's a reason why God does it this way.
And didn't you see that on Friday morning with Rabbi,
yeah.
Rabbi Meir's relics?
Right, with Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya. We're going to get to that. That's one answer. There's another answer. So, the first answer that we're going to encounter many times among our sages is that the real payback is in the world to come. It's all still going to be evened out. We said that some stress that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't happy with this answer, because Moshe Rabbeinu said, how come some righteous have it good and some righteous have it bad? If this were the rule, then all righteous should have it bad and all wicked should have it good. Now, if that's Moshe Rabbeinu's question, then this answer doesn't really answer that. There's another answer, which according to some is the ultimate answer that God gave Job. God says to Job, you make me look wicked. Who are you to make me look wicked? That's because you think you're righteous. Who are you to think you're righteous? You're not righteous. That was God's ultimate answer to Iyob, according to the Mitzvus David. And the Meiri, again, on a different Gemara, the Meiri explains it beautifully on a Gemara later on in Shabbos. The Meiri says one of the basic principles in Jewish faith is that we believe that everything that happens to a person, good or bad, everything is with Hashgacha. God is watching over us. It didn't just happen to him. Okay, you could say it's for the best, but the point is that God controlled it. And a person shouldn't get confused from the fact that the world looks like there is no order. We see righteous have it bad, wicked have it good. It seems like the good and the bad, you could have a righteous and a wicked person on the same ship. It sinks, they both drown. It seems like the same thing happens to both of them. To our eyes, we don't understand God's justice. We don't understand how this one's getting punished and this one's getting good. How come this one, things are happening the way they are? We should know that God doesn't hold back anyone's wages. Everyone gets what they deserve. And that's why our sages told us no one dies without sin. No one gets punished without sin. And he says, what do we do with this opinion that says there were four that died just because God decreed there should be death in the world? So he says, that's an exaggeration. The Gemara meant to say they had very little sins. And their sins were so few that they shouldn't have even entered the calculation. But what they meant was to the onlooker, to the human eye, they didn't have sins from what we know. When we read the Tanakh about Binyamin, about Yishai, we see them to be the most righteous people. But don't think this is in contradiction, says the Meiri, with the verse that says there is no human that hasn't sinned, there is no righteous that has only done good in the world. Everyone sins. We all try not to sin. But even the most righteous people that the Gemara says about them, they only died because God decreed death. The Gemara meant to say, from our perspective, we can't see that they did anything wrong, that they deserve to die from. And the Meiri says, who is more honorable than Moshe and Aaron? And the Torah stresses that Moshe and Aaron died from their own sins. They had sins that warranted their death. And if the Gemara tells, if Chazal tells us this about Moshe and Aaron, so we could all forgo our honor and recognize that we all have sins and that warrant our death. So the second philosophical approach is, just because someone seems pious to us, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We don't know how much is expected of that person. The way some explain it is, what God was telling Eov, it's very nice that you say you do charity. I made you one of the wealthiest people in the world. You had it so good, I expect much more of you than anyone else. You can't say I'm righteous, because your level of righteousness, well, my expectation of you was much higher than your level of righteousness. You had it so good, you should have done so much better. You compare yourself to everyone else and you say, I help the wicked, I help the poor, I help the widows, I help the orphans, I help everyone. That was your claim. Yes, God says, you're right, you do that, but you should have done more. So that's a second understanding into how we understand the righteous having it bad, at least, is that we don't really know what's happening behind closed doors, and we could maybe apply it also to the wicked. We don't know what good they do. We can't judge because we don't have the full picture. This question is a very important question. Chazal gave this importance such weight that Chazal told us that when Adam Rishon, first man, was created, so one of the things God did with him was show him all of human history, and God showed him the righteous that would have it good and the righteous that would have it bad, and the wicked that would have it bad and the wicked that would have it good. And then God gave him a day of God's world, which is 1,000 years, and took 70 years from his life to give his children for generations, because the average lifespan is supposed to be 70 years. So,
well, actually, isn't that the Medrash?
That's what the Medrash says. So this Medrash says he gave it to everyone. He gave it to the average person that would come from him. So now we're going to try to understand the answer, the first aspect of the answer of Rabbi Yossi, that it all depends on your father. How does that work, and why should it be that way? And we'll begin with a quote from Tana the Beis Eliyahu. It says in Tana the Beis Eliyahu, if you have a person who's poor, and he has a son who's also poor, the son does tshuva, he's going to be a tzaddik v'rabba. Remember, what did our Gemara say? Whoever is the son of a rasha is going to have it bad. Be it a rasha, the son of a rasha, or a tzaddik, the son of a rasha. Either way, things are going to be bad. Who's going to have it good? Anyone who's the son of a tzaddik. Be it the Rasha son of a tzaddik or a tzaddik son of a tzaddik. So the Gemara says, imagine you have a poor person and his son is also poor. He's going to have it bad. If he does tshuva, he's going to have it bad. If he doesn't do tshuva, he's going to have it bad.
Doesn't sound fair.
Doesn't sound fair, right. We'll get to that in a minute. Doesn't sound fair.
It's not
right?
Like Hashem's degree of fairness that is related.
You have a poor person and he's asking for charity. Moshe Rabbeinu says, God, you told us throughout the Torah to give him charity. But you also say that you're the one that sustains everyone. You created everyone and you sustain them. So how come you tell us to give charity to the poor? You didn't feed them. We're supposed to feed them. So Moshe Rabbeinu was taught that God says the way I created the world, if a person does something wrong, so there can be a decree that bad things will happen to him, and it'll last four generations. And that's why you could have a righteous person, he's doing everything right, but things will be difficult for him in this world, because his father, his grandfather, his great-great-grandfather did wrong, and it was decreed that they're going to be a poor family. So now he won't be able to get out of it so fast. Next generation's poor, next generation's poor. So Hashem says, that's why I told you to give charity. You don't know who deserves to be poor and who doesn't deserve to be poor. Maybe he's only poor because his father did wrong. And this brings us to another aspect, which we discussed a few weeks ago. One of the things that the Gemara is teaching us here is that we can't know why someone has it good or bad. Meaning it's very easy to judge someone. Think of yourself standing at a subway station. A man wobbles over to you and he smells terribly of urine. And he looks at you and he smiles and you see he's not shaven. His clothes are all shabby and disgusting. You can barely stand the stench. He's missing most of his teeth. The few teeth that are left are all black and decayed. He says, can you spare a dime? And he can barely talk straight. I want to share with you a story about one such person who I knew. We had a guy in yeshiva named Aaron. Aaron was about 35 years old. And he seemed retarded. When I first saw him, he was pushing a push cart. He used to collect rags in the push cart. He used to make them in his pants, literally. So it didn't only smell the urine, it smelled much worse. I mean, if he gave you a hand, he didn't want to shake it. There was a good possibility it was brown. Aaron would walk around listening to a Walkman and listening to music. And one day, the principal of the yeshiva said to me, you know him? He used to be a student here when he was a kid. And I heard the first part of the story. The story goes, he has a sister down in Florida, and she brings him to Florida, she gives him his medication. When he's under medication, he looks normal. And a few years later, I saw him, they told me, yeah, every so often he tries to run away from his sister in Florida to come back to yeshiva. So he gets on a Greyhound bus, he starts collecting, panhandling, he makes it to yeshiva still under the influence of medication. He comes clean-shaven, looking good, sits down in the front of the base medrash and learns. As time goes on and he doesn't have his medication, so he deteriorates. And you see him, his speech becomes slurred, his behavior becomes more and more seemingly retarded. And then he reaches a point where he can't even control himself, he makes in his pants wherever he goes, and he walks around and collects money on the subways and buys music. And then the principal told me something which, whoever heard this story, I don't think he'll forget it. He said, he used to be a standard student in our school. He came here as a child, and he was like any other child. And one day he comes to school, and we find out his parents are getting divorced. So we try to give him more care. And we see it's becoming a nasty divorce. And we see it's affecting him. An example. One day, he comes to the school with a beautiful new blue coat. So the principal tells me, I went off to him and I said, what a nice coat. So he says, yeah, my dad got it for me. And the next day, it's a blistery cold day, and he comes without his coat. And I say to him, Aaron, where's your coat? And he says to me, my mother threw it down the incinerator. So I asked him, why? And he said, because my dad gave it to me. True story. And the principal told me, we witnessed before our own eyes how they drove this person crazy. This child, I'm telling you, this 35-year-old man was here. This is the principal who was 70 or something. He was here in our school, a normal child. But the parents and the fight of the divorce drove him crazy. God created the world in a way that we can harm one another. We have free choice. If we didn't have free choice, what would be the test in living here? And we can not only harm one another, we can harm our offsprings. So King Solomon said, there are tears of those that have been afflicted and no one can comfort them. Dimata Shukim, the tears of those who have been dealt with unjustly. They've been taken advantage of. Ve'en lehem menachem. Shlomo Amel says no one can comfort them. You have a child who's been abused. Well, you can't do anything. It was done. Now the damage is there. You can try and help fix it. But what was done was done. So Shlomo Amel says, yeah, God created the world. We all have to be good people. We all also have to know that there are things that we can't fix.
Yes.
We can look at it and we can cry. We can look at it and we can try to make the world a better place, but we also have to know we have a responsibility. Part of what God put us down in this world is we can do things.
Yes, broken vessels cannot be like a new, completely.
We all have to build. So when we read this Gemara, part of what the Gemara is teaching us is you see a man like Aaron walking down the street, you think, what's wrong with him? He must have drank. He must have done crack. Right? You're standing at the bus stop and the guy walks over to us and he smells the urine and he looks, you see the man is unkempt, you see it's a person you want to get away, you're hoping he's not going to mug you. The last thing you want to do is give him a quarter. And immediately our mind starts thinking, you know why he's here? He must have taken the bottle. He must have taken dope. We don't think maybe he's like Aaron. Maybe someone else did this to him. We don't think that. The Gemara is telling us, you see a person afflicted, you don't know where he is. Maybe he's the son of a Rasha. Maybe it's what his parents did to him. You don't know. So the Gemara tells us, in this world, parents can affect where children are. Not in the next world. In this world. And this is developed very much in this Midrash. That God is saying, you have to give charity because you can't say, well, God, you're supposed to support the world. If you didn't support him, obviously he's supposed to be poor. That's the natural thought that happens to us. When a poor person comes over to us, we start thinking, wait a second, maybe he's going to spend it on a drink. Maybe he's going to waste the money. Maybe there's a reason why he's like this. We think 1,000 things about the person. The Gemara says, no, you don't think about the person. You don't know why. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, you can't judge the poor. I gave you a mitzvah all over the Torah. Support the poor, support the impoverished, support those that are hungry. I worded it in many different ways to tell you, you don't know why. And not only don't you know why, but remember, a person's situation in this world begins with where his parents put him. He has to outgrow that. He has to know that he could fix at least the world to come. He has to try to fix the world here, but he has to know that the world where it counts he can fix. There's a long story here in the Midrash. We don't have time to go into it. but it's amazing how many Midrashim deal with this. So the second answer that we saw in the Gemara, but the Gemara seemed to not have accepted that answer. The Midrashim do adopt this answer, some of the Midrashim. The Gemara said, that doesn't work. Children won't pay the price for the fathers. And the Gemara gave another answer, which we said either uproots the first answer or modifies it. But the Midrashim quote the first answer, some of the Midrashim. They say, parents can define for children where they'll be in this world. Not in the world to come. We control the world to come. But whether I'm going to be in a situation that's difficult or not, they have control over that. And we can understand it simplistically. If we have time, which we don't, I want to get to a few other aspects, which we won't do either tonight. There's a Kabbalistic sefer called Sefer HaBahil, and a commentary on that called the Rikanati. And he goes into how does this work spiritually? How come parents can define for children where they are in this world? True, I rule my world to come, and I can try to break out of where they put me in this world. But to an extent, in heaven, they can define where I am in this world. So he works on the concept of Gilgulim. The Rikanati discusses how we all have, how many times does God plant us in this world, and we just don't have time for that today. I don't remember his first name. I don't remember.
He also wrote the Talmud, Talmud's book.
I don't know. I want us to end with one quick Midrash. The Midrash says Canaan was cursed. This is a Midrash called Mishnat Rabbi Eliezer. The Midrash says Canaan was cursed. He had a lot of offsprings that were good. You know, Rabbi Gamliel had a servant named Tevi. He was a very good person. The Mishnais quote Tevi, Rabbi Gamliel's servant, because their great, 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 great grandfather Canaan sinned, so they're all cursed. How does that work? The pasuk says a sinner is going to die with his sin. A son will not carry the sins of his father. So this medrash gives us another understanding, which seems to be in conflict with our Gemara. The medrash says, whenever a decree was put upon a person before his children were born, so then the children can end up carrying the weight of the curse. Proof of the pudding, Adam was cursed that he'll die, and all his offsprings die. So Canaan was cursed, all his offsprings afterwards carry the weight of the curse.
But it says, Hashem's anger will be only last for four generations. His kindness will last for us for 20 generations, I think it is.
So yeah, yeah.
See, it would seem that what one is that his kindness, his chesed outlasts his gvura. But it would seem that from that it does carry from generation to generation, at least four generations.
Right. So Chazal say that we saw in our Gemara that's only if the son is a sinner like the father. If he continues the ways of the father. But the question is what happened with the first answer. And the Midrashim, some of the Midrashim seem to adopt the first answer. If we're out of time, I don't know if next class, you guys want to continue on this next class or we'll leave it. I think the answer that's most prevalent among Chazal is we don't know. That's the answer that seems to be the conclusion of our Gemara, and that's the answer that's brought throughout the Midrashim that we don't know, and that's the answer also in the Medrash about David HaMelech's Psalm, and according to some okay, the question is how, whether we should go further in this next class or not. You guys want to tell me just so I know how to prepare? How many people want to continue on this point next class?
Continue.
Yeah? Okay, so we'll try to continue Bezachem next week on this point.
He has a kind of too, says he says I have a son that's a Rasha, so I'll not have a son, and then it's about who are you? Who are you to not
Chazal brings his Kiyahu as an example. Okay. They say, how come Menashe had it so good?
Right.
Because his father was a tzaddik. How come God waited so long for him? Because his father was a tzaddik. There are a bunch of examples, we didn't get to go through them, where Chazal show us wicked people whose father was a tzaddik, but they were born into a good situation. So they didn't deserve it, but they were born there. So God didn't change it. A father, Yitzchak. Abraham had a son, Yitzchak. Yitzchak had it good, because he was born from a father who was a tzaddik. Other people had children who were righteous people, but they landed them in a predicament. We can define where our children are. Yeah. Yeah, that's what the Midrashim seem to say. We can't contain their potential for the world to come, but we can put them down in a certain sense in this world. Again, no one's supposed to walk into life thinking, this is where I am, this is where my parents put me, I can't get out of it, life's going to be tough. No, we all have to try to make life better. But we also have to know that our parents do define a starting point for us.
But also we might look at a person in this world and say, wow, he's suffering, he's really rough. And somebody could look at him and say, well, he must be a real Rasha to suffer like that. But we don't know what's going on upstairs.
For sure. Yeah.